wonder if God got a plan for everyone. I wonder if I could take a second run. 'Cause I carry on getting sad and getting stuck. What I wouldn't give for a life that doesn't suck. I'm a moving target.
To S3 Podcast, episode 59. I almost forgot which episode we were on, but yeah, in today's episode we will be covering the disappearance of Breonna Maitland. And without further ado, let's get right into it. But before that, do make sure to follow us on Instagram at S3 Podcast, and also subscribe and follow us on your chosen podcast platform. So without any further delay, let's get into it. Breonna Maitland was born October 8th, 1986 in Burlington, Vermont, to Bruce and Kelly Maitland, née Fisher. She was raised with her older brother on their parents' farm in East Franklin, Vermont, near the Canadian border. In her youth, she was extensively trained in jiu-jitsu. Maitland attended Missisquoi Valley Union High School before transferring to Enosburg Falls High School in nearby Enosburg Falls during her sophomore year. On Maitland's 17th birthday in October 2003, she decided she wanted to move away from her parents' farm. Her mother, Kelly, said there were no serious stresses at home, but that Maitland wanted more independence. And, you know, I think when you're at that age, you know, 17, going into 18, 19, whatever, you are wanting your own independence, you know. Even though you do have your own independence, you get to come and go as you please and all of that, but she wanted to literally, you know, live in her own, you know, do what she wanted to do, obviously live a life, and that's understandable. But that Maitland wanted more independence and to be closer, to a group of friends who lived 15 miles, 24 kilometres away, and attended a different high school. Maitland enrolled at her friend's high school, but her living arrangements were unstable as she moved in and out of several friends' homes. By the end of February 2004, she had dropped out of school and moved in with her childhood friend, Gideon Stout, in Sheldon, Vermont, approximately 20 miles, 32 kilometres west of Montgomery. To complete her education, Maitland enrolled in a GED program. 3 weeks prior to her disappearance, Maitland was physically attacked at a party by a former female friend, Keely LaCrosse. The motive for the attack was unclear, though Breonna's father, Bruce, would later state that he believed it stemmed from jealousy over Maitland's interaction with a male peer at the party. One of Maitland's friends at the party claimed that Maitland, despite her martial arts training, refused to fight with LaCrosse, who subsequently hit her in the face several times while Maitland was seated in a truck. The altercation resulted in Maitland suffering a broken nose and concussion. She later filed charges against LaCrosse. The complaint was subsequently dropped 3 weeks after Maitland disappeared, and police stated that LaCrosse was cleared of any involvement in her disappearance. On the morning of Friday, March 19th, 2004, Maitland took an exam to receive her GED. After completing the test, she and her mother, Kelly, had lunch to celebrate the occasion. Her father, Bruce, was out of state working in New York at the time. Her mother described her as being in good spirits and that Maitland had discussed plans of attending college. After lunch, Maitland and her mother spent the afternoon shopping and running errands. While waiting in the checkout line of a store, Kelly said something outside caught Breonna's attention. She told her mother she would return shortly and left the store. Kelly completed her purchase and met Breonna in the parking lot and noticed that her daughter seemed unnerved, shaken and agitated. She told her mother that she needed to go home and prepare for her upcoming work shift at the Black Lantern Inn, a restaurant in Montgomery. Not wanting to pry, Kelly did not ask what happened and dropped Brianna off at Stout's home between 3:30 and 4 p.m. This was the last time she saw her daughter. At some point before leaving for her work shift, Maitland left a note for Stout saying she would return after work at evening. Maitland then departed for the Black Lantern Inn in a 1985 Oldsmobile sedan registered to Kelly. After completing her shift at work, Maitland clocked out and left the Black Lantern Inn at approximately 11:20 p.m. She told her co-workers she needed to get home and rest before working the next day at her second job in St. Albans. By all accounts, Maitland was alone in her vehicle when she left. And, you know, 11:20 p.m. at night, it's dark, you know, and yes, she was trained in martial arts, but even still, right, anything could happen, you know, to a woman, you know, at that age, or any age, and obviously we're going to continue to, obviously, the following day after. So, Saturday, March 20th, 2004, early the next afternoon on March 20th, a Vermont State Police trooper was dispatched to an abandoned house on Route 118 in Richford. About a mile from the Black Lantern Inn, Maitland's Oldsmobile was found backed into the side of the house. Known locally as the Old Dutch Burn House, the siding of the home had been breached by the rear end of the car. A piece of plywood that had been covering a window lay in the car's trunk. Two of Maitland's paychecks were on the front seat of the car and outside it. Law enforcement observed loose change, a water bottle and an unsmoked cigarette. The trooper assumed the car had been abandoned by a drunk driver and a towing company took the vehicle to a local garage. Maitland was not reported missing for a number of days. Her mother, Kelly, did not learn about the discovery of Maitland's car until 5 days afterward. Stout saw Maitland's note on Friday, March 19th, spent the weekend away and found the note undisturbed when she returned on Monday. Assuming Maitland was staying elsewhere, she did not call Kelly until the following day. On Tuesday, March 23rd, Kelly began calling various people in order to find Maitland, including friends as well as her employers, none of whom had seen or spoken to her. Failing in her efforts and still unaware that the vehicle Maitland had been driving had been recovered, she filed a missing person report that day. On Thursday, March 25th, Maitland's parents gave photos of her to Vermont Police State in St. Albans. A trooper showed them a picture of the Oldsmobile found at the old Dutch Burn house, upon which they immediately identified the car as their daughter's. Kelly said in interviews that she was instinctively revulsed by the photo and believed someone else, not Maitland, had left the car in such a way. So, the mum was already suspicious, as she knew, obviously, how her daughter drove. She automatically knew that she wouldn't have left the car in that position. So there was already a little bit of a suspicion going through her mind. Witness sightings. After Maitland's reported disappearance, several individuals came forward to law enforcement to report sightings of Maitland's vehicle at the old Dutch Burn house the night she disappeared. A man who drove by the house between 11:30 p.m. and 12:30 a.m. on March 19th, 20th, said the car's headlights may have been on. He said he did not see anyone in or around the car. A second man who drove by between midnight and 12:30 a.m. on Saturday, March 20th, recalled seeing a turn signal flashing on the car. Around 4 a.m. on Saturday, March 20th, a former boyfriend of Maitland's drove past the scene after a night of partying across the border in Canada. He thought he recognised the vehicle, but he did not see anyone in or around it. The next morning, some passing motorists found the scene odd enough that they stopped and took pictures of it. One of the photographers reported some loose change, a water bottle and a bracelet or necklace on the ground next to the car. And as someone who watches, you know, true crime podcasts, you know, one of my favourites is, you know, Mile High podcast. That's one of my favourites to listen to. And, you know, it always strikes me how when a disappearance of any kind happens, it is weird how there are certain things that are left that at the time and or in general don't make sense. Like, why would, like, for instance, why would she leave her water bottle, for one? Why would she leave loose change? And why was there a bracelet or a necklace on the ground next to the car? It doesn't matter where you're going, you will always need money on you. You will always need water on you, you know. I just find it odd how she left all of that behind. And, you know, there's, and so this to me sounds as if there must have been a struggle of some kind to where, you know, loose change was left, water bottle was left, and a bracelet and necklace was found. Entails to me that there must have been some sort of struggle. But maybe we will find out later on. So, initial findings. The Vermont State Police, who led the official investigation for the first months after Maitland's disappearance, were sceptical that foul play was involved, considering the possibility that Maitland was a runaway. But, again, and I don't know the full depth of the relationship that they had, but that doesn't sound like someone who is a runaway. She wanted her own independence. If she was running away, if this was a runaway, she wouldn't be spending time with her mum still. Like, she would run away at night. She wouldn't be doing all of this, you know. So, I don't see that, personally. The area surrounding the old Dr. Byrne house was combed on foot by police and search dogs, but nothing was found. Maitland's vehicle was processed by the State Crime Laboratory for evidence on March 30th, 2004. So, a full 10 to maybe 5 days later. After the car had been impounded at a local garage for several days. Upon the car's return to the Maitland family, Bruce noted that his daughter's ATM card, glasses, contact lenses, lens case, and migraine medication had all been left inside. That, to me, why would you leave all of that behind? This is why disappearances to me is very surprising in a way, because let's say, for instance, she just parked the car and she knew exactly where she was going, right? And she just left the car for a few hours. But again, no matter where you're going, you will always need money on you, you know. Your ATM card, your glasses, your lenses, your migraine, all the essentials that you need. Right? Why would that all be left behind? It was later conducted by law enforcement that foul play was the probable cause of Maitland's disappearance. And a 2007 flyer provided the FBI stated that the scene at which Maitland's car was discovered may have been staged to appear as an accident. Bailyn's parents publicly speculated she may have been abducted by multiple people, stating that it would have been difficult for a single assailant to subdue her given her jiu-jitsu training. And it's possible. The disappearance of Mama Murray, a college student from Massachusetts in northwest New Hampshire, the month before, was deemed unrelated to Maitland's disappearance by law enforcement. In spite of the events occurring within 90 miles of each other in 2004, Maitland's family organised a website, now defunct, titled bringbreehome.org, with a posted maximum reward of $20,000 for information leading to her whereabouts. The website was active until at least 2009. According to a March 2017 article published in the Burlington Free Press, the reward remained available. In June 2017, however, it was reported that the reward was due to expire in early July of that year. Allegations and affidavit. In the week following Maitland's disappearance, the Vermont State Police received an anonymous tip claiming that she was being held against her will in a house in nearby Berkshire, Vermont, 10 miles from Montgomery. The rented house, then occupied by Ramon L. Wyons and Nathaniel Charles Jackson, two known drug dealers from New York, was raided by police on April 15th. 2004. Various drugs paraphernalia was discovered inside, as well as substantial amounts of cocaine and marijuana, but no sign of Maitland was found. Wyons was arrested during the raid for drug charges. Upon interviewing Maitland's close friends, law enforcement was informed that Maitland had allegedly experimented with hard drugs in the recent past, specifically crack, cocaine, and was an acquaintance of Wyons and Jackson. In late 2004, police received a statement from an anonymous older female, in quotation marks, who implicated both Wyons and Jackson in Maitland's disappearance and alleged murder. The signed affidavit contained allegations written in graphic detail that Maitland had been murdered approximately a week after her disappearance. The woman who provided the affidavit claimed that Wyons murdered Maitland during an argument over money, and she had lent him to purchase crack, and that her body had been temporarily stored in the basement of a recently incarcerated local women's home. Maitland's body was then allegedly dismembered with a table saw and disposed of on a pig farm. Law enforcement was unable to corroborate the claims in the letter. The Maitland family additionally reported that they had received several uncorroborated anonymous phone calls from persons claiming Maitland was tied to a tree in the woods and that she had been disposed of at the bottom of a lake. Later developments: in 2006, security footage at the Caesars World Casino in Atlantic City, New Jersey, showed a woman resembling Maitland sitting at a poker table. The woman was never properly identified. In 2012, law enforcement investigated a potential connection between Maitland's disappearance and serial killer Israel Keyes, who committed numerous rapes and murders in Alaska, Oregon, and Washington, as well as in Vermont and New York, where he owned property in Constable. The FBI ruled out the Keyes' potential connection to Maitland's disappearance in late December 2012, shortly after Keyes committed suicide in Anchorage, Alaska. In March 2016, on the case's 12th anniversary, investigators revealed to a local television station they had recovered DNA samples from Maitland's car. The results of the DNA tests were not made public. In July 2016, the farmhouse where Maitland's vehicle was discovered was destroyed in a fire. Media depictions. Maitland's case has been profiled by Dateline, NBC, and on the Investigation Discovery documentary series, disappeared in December 2011. Maitland's disappearance was also mentioned in a 2016. Her case was profiled on the podcast The Vanished in 2017. Her case was profiled in an episode of the documentary series The Disappearance of Maura Murray on the Oxygen Network. And as far as I'm aware, because I can't see any written things here, but as far as I'm aware, I think her case is still unsolved. If any of you can correct me on that, if any of you know of any information of it being solved, do let me know. But that will be it for today's episode. I really love doing episodes on this, as well as everything else that we cover. So yeah, I hope you have a fantastic day. Happy weekend to all of you. Have a great weekend, and there will be another episode waiting for you on Monday.
I wonder if God got a plan for everyone. I wonder if I could take a second run. 'Cause I carry on getting sad and getting stuck. What I wouldn't give for a life that doesn't suck. I'm a moving target.